The text for this morning's meditation is found in the Old Testament lesson appointed for this day, 2 Kings chapter 5, reading verses 9 through 13. So Naaman came with horses and chariots and halted at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But a servant came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean.'" This is our text. Naaman, commander of the Syrian forces, a great man. The text tells us that he is a man both of valor and of victory. And yet Naaman is a man who has two problems. And these problems take the form of two major diseases that Naaman has. The first of these diseases is leprosy. A terrible disease for which there was no cure, and which, when you got leprosy, usually meant that your days were numbered and your life would soon end. And the second disease that Naaman had was a terrible ailment, a disease of the mind, that we might call, "God, I want it my own way." The text tells us, Naaman comes to the house of Elisha. Elisha sends a messenger out to him. Elisha doesn't even come to him in person. Elisha sends a messenger and tells him, "Naaman, you want to be clean? Go to the Jordan and wash 7 times." But Naaman gets quite angry. He thought that the prophet would come out and wave his hands in the air and maybe invoke the name of God and cure the leper. You see, Elisha's command seemed to be too easy for Naaman. Naaman already had a preconceived idea of what he wanted done before he ever came to see Elisha. He had in his own mind this picture of Elisha, the man of God, coming out and performing this great miracle, but that was not to be God's way for Naaman that day. And so since Naaman didn't get what he wanted, since it didn't go his way, since God had his way instead, Naaman turned and went away in a rage. And you see, the second disease is really almost worse. It is worse than the first disease of leprosy. For this disease almost caused Naaman not to be cured of his leprosy. But luckily for Naaman, his servants come to him and say, "Naaman, go to the river Jordan. Do what the prophet says. Wash. If he asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. Do this easy task." And so Naaman goes and he is cleaned and he is healed. But before Naaman could be healed, he first had to overcome this second disease. This disease of, "I want it my way." First of all, he had to overcome his own pride, and he had to put away his own preconceived notions of the way it should be done in his own mind, and then simply accept the prophet's word for face value and do them. And so Naaman was healed. And now this might make a nice little Old Testament story if we left it just there. But if we view it in the light of the gospel, it has a great message for us today. For you see, the second disease, the disease of, "God, I want it my own way," is at epidemic proportions in our world today. In this me generation in which we live, this I generation, this disease of, "God, I want it my own way," is at epidemic proportions. And it's very true. In our lives, we want things our own way. We develop our own little preconceived notions, little scenarios of just the way everything should go in our life. We plan out days, we plan out weeks, months, even years. We know just how our classes should be run. We know just which way our ministry should go. We even probably have picked out where our call is supposed to be or our vicarage. You see, we have in our own mind the way we want things done. And that's not all that bad, unless it opposes what God's will is for in our life. If things don't go just the way we want them in our life, what's our reaction? Do we thank God that he has brought that into our life, or do we become sad and depressed and maybe even like Naaman, quite angry? Do we sometimes stomp off when things don't go the way we want it, and then maybe miss some of the great blessings that our God would like to give to us? In fact, we can even get it into our minds, we can get it into our heads, that somehow or the other, we deserve not just good, not just better, we merit the best that life has to offer for us. Well, the truth of the matter, as you and I both well know, is we don't deserve good, we don't deserve better, we don't deserve best, and we don't even deserve bad. We deserve the worst from God. And yet even though we acknowledge that, even though we acknowledge that we are sinners and we don't even deserve God's goodness and mercy, yet we can still get it into our minds that somehow we deserve something better. We deserve something better than what God is giving us. And so we turn again and we want it our way. And if that's not dangerous enough in itself, this dread disease of God, I want it my way, can also creep into our view of salvation. For you see, even though we are redeemed children of God, yet we are still in the flesh. And the flesh is opposed to the Spirit, and God's ways are not always our ways. And so even though we read John 3:16, even though we read Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and we say, yes, Lord, yes, I know that I am saved by grace through faith, and it doesn't have anything to do with my works. Even though we confess that, yet we could step right beyond that and say, we know that, Lord, and yet, after all, we're here at the seminary. After all, we have dedicated our lives to serving you, God. Surely we deserve, surely we merit just a little extra grace and favor. Surely, in this life now, we deserve a little extra goodness, and maybe you'll even give us a bonus when we get to heaven. And if we have it our way, we would actually try and earn our way into God's favor. Because according to the flesh, we would like to try and please God and appease his wrath through the law, through our keeping of the law. We would like to direct our own lives and our own actions. We would like to have it our way. But thanks be to God that neither you nor I, nor anybody else was in the heavenly council room when from the foundation of the world, God decided to redeem us in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that he didn't do it our way, but he did it his own way. We would try and make things so difficult in our lives, especially when it comes to salvation. But God doesn't require from us any difficult task, any difficult deed. Just like Naaman, Elisha required no difficult task from him. The difficult part came in for Naaman when he tried to overcome his own pride in his mind. And so it is with us too. Our salvation rests on no difficult task that we must undertake. But the difficult part in our life is putting away what we think should be done. Putting away this disease of God, I want it done my own way, and simply receiving God's way in our life. But that's a task that's going to take daily work. Paul tells us that daily we must get rid of the flesh, get rid of the old man, and put on the new. And we have not been left without any tools, but neither from us we neglect the tools that God gives us. For it's true that it's not just through living at the seminary that we are going to come to get rid of our own way and receive God's way in our life. We need to go through his means of grace. It's sad that in my life, and I'm sure in most of your lives too, our baptism plays such a small part. But if we want to receive God's way in our life and not just our own, we can go to that daily, hourly, even every minute if we need to, and see there the truth that we are children of God, under His way, and that He is going to do what's best for us. We can also come to the Lord's Supper, as many of us did yesterday, and as we will have presented for us again tomorrow, and receive there the crucifixion and the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He comes to us in bread and wine. And of course, there's always the Word of God. Through daily Bible study, daily personal Bible study, we can again have our God come to us and teach us His way instead of just our own. There's a fast food chain that makes hamburgers, and their slogan is, "Have it your own way." Well, God grant that we never have to have it our own way, because if we do, that means our destruction. God grant that in Jesus Christ we flee to the cross and we flee to the open tomb and see there God's way for our life and God's way for our salvation. God grant that we have it in His way. In Jesus' name, amen.